This morning we're thinking about Thomas, because we're doing this like little, we've done 40 days of resurrection, so we're looking at some of the resurrection stories. Last week we looked at the people on the road to Emmaus, which is one of my favourite stories in the New Testament. These people that are walking to Emmaus, despite the fact that there are empty tombs in Jerusalem, they decide, I'm going to run away to Emmaus. And these two people are on this path, because sometimes when we're hurt, we go back to what we know, don't we? When we're hurt and we're feeling disappointed and we're dejected, we run away in the wrong direction. So they run off towards Emmaus. But the beautiful thing about their story is that God doesn't stand at a distance and say, off you go, you run away. He chases after them, and Jesus meets them on the journey. And Jesus encounters them in their place of disappointment and points them towards him. Wonderful, isn't it? And this morning, we're looking at Thomas in the New Testament, who has got a similar experience. Now, Thomas, as you've probably heard, it gets a bit of a... It's a bit of a rough ride, doesn't it, really? I mean, we still talk about it today. If someone's a bit... We call people doubting Thomases, don't we? Doubting Thomases. It's a term, it's a name that's kind of loaded with this, like, it's synonymous with doubting. It's loaded with negativity if someone's a doubting Thomas. But I tell you what, I feel a bit sorry for Thomas, to be honest. I feel he gets a little bit of a rough ride in the New Testament. Not just in the New Testament, but ever since when people talk about him. Because I don't really think what he said was that shocking. Tell you a little bit about Thomas before we come on to this passage. Because as I say, I think he's got a bit of a rough ride. And I want to highlight another passage to you that maybe portrays him in a better light. A few passages before, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know what, guys? I'd quite like to go back to Judea. How do we feel about going back to Judea? At which point, the disciples around him say, Jesus, are you crazy? The last time we went to Judea, then the people picked up rocks and started throwing them to you. Which is not the best welcome you're ever going to expect to receive in a village. And I think that the disciples are probably on the right lines when they say, well, the last time we went there, they tried to kill you. And Jesus says, no, I've heard that Lazarus is sick in Judea. I want to go back. And the disciples are like, why are you doing that? They're going to kill you if you go back there. And then this is what Thomas says. This is the other bit in the New Testament that he mentions, which is why I quite like it, why I mentioned it this morning. Thomas says, let's also go with him, that we may die with him. Thomas is not a wimp. Thomas is a brave guy. Jesus says, I'm going to see Lazarus, I'm going to see him in Judea. And all of the disciples are like, you're going to get stoned again. Last time you went there, they tried to push you off a cliff. Jesus says, I've got to go. And Thomas says, if he's going, we're going, that we may die with him. That's in John 11. He's a brave guy. But Thomas has been hurt and disappointed and let down. So my question to you this morning is, regardless on how brave you appear on the outside and how bolshy you can be and how much you can be like, yeah, we're all going to Judea, we'll die with him, we're all very brave. But when you are disappointed with God, how do you respond? Those times when things have been different, when you are gutted with how it's turned out, how do you respond? And from what I can read in this passage, Thomas responds in three ways. The first way is that he loses trust. Because the disciples say, you won't believe what weekend we had. I mean, imagine if you were talking to your mates and you were like, and they said, oh, how was church on Sunday? You were like, you would not believe the meeting we had. Jesus literally turned up and was standing there and we chatted to him. Now, Thomas, instead of saying, that's amazing, when can I come? Thomas loses trust in him. I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe you. Unless I can put my fingers in those. When we are disappointed with God, I think one of the first things we lose is trust that he is good. When we've gone through something difficult, I think we stop trusting that God actually has the best will for our lives. When we're disappointed with him, sometimes we think, you know what, God? You had your chance and you blew it. I don't trust you that your plans for me are good. If that's you this morning, can I remind you of the passage in Scripture that says God has good plans for you. My plans for you, says God, are to prosper you, though are not to harm you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff will comfort me and guide me. Jesus promises to be the light in the darkness. The word of the Bible speaks of a God who loves you and cares for you and wants the best for you. And when we're disappointed with God, we quickly lose trust. And then, Thomas, having said, "To be honest, guys, I don't believe you," he becomes very cynical. And he says, "Unless I can put my fingers in those wounds, I'm not going to believe." Have you ever met a really cynical person? Ever? And where anything that's ever good, they're like, "Well, yeah, but you haven't considered the negatives of that." You think, "Oh, shut up. Oh, can we just have a win?" I'll share. This isn't, I don't know who this came from, so I'm not like saying a mean story about someone, I promise you. But last time when Toto came, it was so good. I loved it so much. And someone came up to me afterwards, and they were sharing a story on behalf of someone else. And they just said, "Oh, I had a great time, but so-and-so said, oh yeah, I think those kids were just put up to it, to be honest. I'm not sure they really believed it." And at first, I was a little bit annoyed, not going to lie, because I was like, do you want me to go and introduce you to those kids? I promise you they are legit. And if you don't believe me, you should have come and served them dinner, because they were 100% legit when they were thanking us for it. And I tell you what, I have actually been to some Ugandan orphanages, and I know what goes on there. And let me tell you, when those kids sing about how much they are grateful to God, they are not doing it for applause. They genuinely mean it. Anyway, I was getting a bit riled up, as you can probably hear. I was like, I've literally been to these places, and I've met kids like this, and they really are genuinely overcome by the love of God that has saved them from that pit. They are not doing it because they're on a stage. Anyway, I could have gone on that rant, and I was quite annoyed at first. Then I caught myself. I thought, why am I getting annoyed at this person? It's not their fault that they are cynical. They have been hurt. And suddenly that anger in me, where I wanted to just make this big argument about why these kids, I realised what kind of person says something like that is the kind of person who has been hurt. And something in them has hardened, and suddenly they've lost the trust. And when they see something like that, they immediately want to criticise. They immediately want to pull it down. Thomas hears that Jesus has been in the room, and the first thing he says is, "I don't believe you guys. I don't believe it. Something that good could not have happened." And Thomas becomes cynical. And finally, he stops rejoicing with the people who are rejoicing. These disciples are so happy, they're so excited, they're like, "Thomas, he's alive, we saw him." Thomas is like, "No, you didn't, I don't believe it." When you're so excited about something, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, when you're so excited about something and you want to tell everyone, and then you tell someone and they're like, "Nah, it wasn't really that good. It wasn't really that good." I have a tendency, it's a family trait really, that we're overly enthusiastic about things that to the outside might appear to be a little bit rubbish. I remember Charity and I having a long discussion, let's call it a discussion. A long discussion about why I felt that Melton Mowbray Fair on Bank Holiday Monday was an excellent way to spend the day. A village near Melton Mowbray. I thought it was brilliant. There was a falconry display, there were clowns. My favourite one, which I thought was brilliant, where there were three late. They were raising money for a good cause. And you know where you like play that jukebox thing where you pull a lever and then if you get three like bananas, you win a prize? They did that, but live. So there were three little ladies sitting there with a box of fruit, and then you put a pound in, and they put their hand in the box of fruit. And if they pulled out three apples, then you won. Brilliant. That was the level we're talking about. A day's worth of activity. There was a classic car show featuring cars slightly newer than mine, which was another particular highlight. then for some reason there was also a pram show. You could go and look at some prams. Nothing creepier, I think, than walking around seas of prams with little dolls looking out at you. Anyway, wonderful. What a day. Charity was not so impressed. But I was hurt by that. Because I thought, there's nothing worse than when you've committed to being excited about a falconry display over a dodgy tannoy, where they're throwing their pigeons up in the air and all very excited. You're committed to enjoying it. And someone's just a bit of a party pooper and is like, it's rubbish. Look, deep down I knew it was rubbish, but we couldn't admit that it was rubbish because we were there. Now imagine that when the thing you are talking about is genuinely good, as opposed to Melton Mowbray's Bank Holiday Fair. When the thing you're excited about is genuinely life-changing, good, something to be told, news to be shared. Jesus has turned up and Thomas says, no, he didn't. I don't believe you. Thomas loses his trust in God, loses his trust that good things can happen, becomes cynical, and then just stops rejoicing when other people rejoice. When people tell him a good story, he can't enjoy it. And I read that, and I was challenged by it. Because you know what? When I'm disappointed, I do those things as well. When I'm hurt, I do exactly the same things. I stop trusting that God's good. When I'm hurt, I start getting more cynical, and I question people's motives. When I'm hurt, then suddenly I stop getting excited about other people's good news stories. But the wonderful truth about the passage we just read is that God does not stand at a distance and judge us for those attitudes. What does Jesus do with doubting Thomas? He does not write him off as a cynic who will never change his mind. He does not write him off as someone who is hard of heart, who is not worth bothering with. Jesus comes and he meets Thomas and he says, do you really want to believe? Put your hands here and here and put your fist here where the wound still is. Because the wonderful story about this resurrection meet is that Jesus does not leave us to our cynicism. Jesus does not leave us to our doubts. Jesus does not leave us to our hardness of heart. Jesus comes to us and gives us his wounds and says, you want to believe? Behold the wounds. Put your fingers here. Put your fist in the gap where they put the spear. Jesus does not leave us where we are at. But the beauty of resurrection is that God meets us there and transforms it. The bishop was talking about doubting Thomas last week, and he used a beautiful phrase that I thought was so good. He said, the wounds of Jesus are big enough to cradle our doubts. Jesus offers Thomas his wounds and says, put your fingers here. The wounds of Jesus are big enough to take our cynicism. The wounds of Jesus are big enough to take our hardness of heart. The wounds of Jesus are big enough and deep enough to take our doubt and hold them. Because resurrection is not about a God shouting the good news to people far off. The resurrection is about Jesus entering our place of hardness, entering our place of cynicism, entering our place of disappointment, and saying, look at these wounds. Touch them. I'm alive. Let's pray. Father, we are sorry for the times that we have chosen not to trust you and your word. Your word that says that you love us, that you have got good plans for us. Father, we are sorry for the times that we have been cynical about what is going on in your kingdom. I'm sorry about the times I have put you in a box and said, God, you can't do that. God, I'm sorry for the times that I have not rejoiced with those who were rejoicing because of my hardness of heart. But I thank you that you have come and drawn near to us, that your wounds are deep enough to carry our doubt and our disappointment and our hurt, that we are allowed to question and to probe, and ultimately we can meet you and say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. May we know your presence with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.